Myrcella would have time enough to learn the history of the orphans on her voyage up the river. Arianne led her queen-to-be to the final member of their little band. Last, but first in valor, I give you Sir Gerald Dane, a knight of Starfall. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chump, we thought it was best to rename and rebrand ourselves as the game did so with a second edition. Now, we are the White Book Podcast, and each week we bring you your dose of strategy, insight, and all-around geeky goodness. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, but more importantly to you, our listeners. Please consider supporting us on Patreon so that we can continue to make this show the best it can, and I promise we have big plans for the future. This is The White Book. The most exciting quote that we've ever featured on the show.
Pretty cool pretty entry healthy. Into the series, though, right?
I hope so.
I mean, hopefully we see him again sometime, ever.
Yeah. I mean, I like it a little bit later when he actually explains that men call him the Dark Star. That sounds pretty badass.
That is true.
Yeah, he might be the person that has the most personas of cards in first edition of the game to also have the least amount of mentions.
Yeah, very, very low count there. And it's still so weird. I should have looked up the exact quote, but there's a quote somewhere where I think it's Doran kind of thinking about Arianne's scheme, and he comments in kind of a throwaway line that the Dark Star is probably the most dangerous man in all of Dorne. And it's just kind of like, wait, what? And it just keeps going past that and never does anything with it ever again.
Yeah, and then there's also the whole exchange about the Sword of the Morning and him being of the night. Like, that's a cool little conversation, too.
Mm-hmm. I like to think of the Dark Star as the Boba Fett or the Captain Phasma of the Game of Thrones novels.
It's a fair parallel.
Yeah.
Unless he comes back in like the entire, Song of Spring or whatever that ends up being called is about him.
Yeah. I mean, assuming we ever get it.
Right, exactly. Seems unlikely. Maybe more like a spinoff.
Yeah, there we go. Maybe we'll get him in one of the history books or something.
Dark Star Game of Thrones story.
I love it. I would watch that spinoff. Just don't cast what's his face, Alden Ehrenreich or whatever.
Yeah, we'll cast the guy from Baby Driver instead.
Perfect. Well, we almost had our other co-host about to pipe up a little bit here, and then we quashed him. So I feel like we should, at the very least, let him introduce himself.
No one introduced themselves.
Fair point.
Well, yeah. I mean, I figured we would introduce ourselves after you. We would give you the primary honor.
I am honored, blessed, forever in your debt. I'm Scott, and this is The White Book.
Well done. You know, I question whether you really feel honored and blessed, but you know what? I'm going to take it at face value. Thank you.
We'll let the listeners interpret. I am not honored and blessed, but I am here and ready to talk about some Martell stuff.
And you are?
And I'm still Tommy.
Oh, okay. That's good. And I, of course.
Back from the dead, 2.0.
Woo, Tommy 2.0. Dude, at this point, you're at least Tommy 3.0.
Seriously, it's possible.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and dive into what we've got going on for the episode. This week, we have a request, so to speak, from our patrons. We had been kicking around doing another deck build for a little bit, so in our Facebook patron group, we posed the question of, you know, what would you actually like us to build? And we had several really good responses there. But for the moment, we went ahead and took, I believe it was Wama, up on his suggestion that we get out ahead of the curve. That, you know, there's already a lot of cards previewed from the Martell box. So, you know, go ahead, dive in, and build an HRD, a house with the red door, Starfall deck. And I like the idea of getting out ahead of things.
I like the idea of taking icons.
Also good.
Yeah, it's new, it's fresh. It'll be fun to discuss.
So, there's the philosophy if we want to start with plots or cards. I like to start with cards.
Yes, I personally do as well for at least like three quarters or so of the deck. And to do so, we're going to go ahead and build this on ThronesDB. So I'll publish it whenever this episode comes out. Not all of the previewed cards are out on or up on ThronesDB at the moment. We're going to try to work with what we can. Unfortunately, Starfall itself is not. So we're gonna throw in a placeholder for that that is obviously not supposed to be in the deck itself. And I think, you know, call me crazy here, but I think we can all agree the God's Eye would probably not normally be in the deck. So not that's gonna personally going to, yeah, personally going to be my placeholder. It's three costs, so you know what it is. And for any listeners that are confused, Starfall is a three cost loyal Martell location, Dorne and House Dane traits. And then the challenge is action, kneel Starfall to choose a character. And until the end of the phase, that character loses a challenge icon of your choice. So there we go. That will get us started out.
So here's a little suggestion. Obviously not how I would ever build decks. Generally, I'm a plot first guy. But if we want to talk about the new hotness, and that's kind of what the listeners are looking for, maybe we start with just the cards from the new box, and then we'll fill in the gaps.
Yeah, okay. So just the ones, of course, available on ThronesDB?
Correct.
I would think first there's some that are obvious that you're just going to put three of there, and let's just fill up those slots first.
Right. Which ones do you think?
You're going to put three Dorne Spy, okay. Three Seven Messenger. Do we all agree on that, or would people disagree? In an icon-stripping deck, they're the icon-stripping...
Yeah. I think so. Like those are two of the biggest tech cards in Martell right now to deal with the icon removal theme. So,
and we want three flea bottom because we're playing those cards and they're coming to play.
Right, and those won't be the only ones that we will be eager to abuse with flea bottom.
Okay,
I am certain of
that. Seems reasonable, but given those assumptions, should we also assume that we're going to have three Nymerias?
Which Nymeria are we talking? Because there is a new Nymeria.
There is a new Nymeria. She's not yet on ThronesDB.
She's not.
And I still actually think that I would pick the icon stripping one for this deck anyway.
Well, this deck wants icons taken away, so definitely it wants old Nymeria. Yeah. But I will read new Nymeria.
Sure.
Because she's actually really good for other decks. She's four cost, four strength, power intrigue icon, loyal bastard sand snake, reaction after you lose dominance, discard one card at random from the opponent's hand and draw a card, which is really good, but we want to take icons.
Indeed. Indeed we do. Well, so, speaking of taking icons and new cards, I think there's another one that we hands down want to start with three of, and that's the Shadow City Bastard, the brand new 2-cost, 1-strength bastard, intriguing power, ambush 3, and then, of course, the challenge's action, sacrifice it to choose a character with printing cost 5 or lower, then until the end of the phase, characters lose military intrigue and power. I won't necessarily read all the cards, but...
No, I agree. I also think since we're playing all these jumpy cards, we probably want 3 core Arion. Or at least 2.
Yeah, no, I tentatively for right now, I would also go with 3 and kind of see where we wind up. We can drop one if we need to.
Okay, so now I think is the question, and it's a new card question. This will determine the curve of our deck. There's 2 cards that can both go in, but they're both relatively expensive. And keeping in mind that this is HRD, our setup is going to be quite a bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is the Big Doran. For anyone who doesn't know, I'll read that too. It's a Loyal Martell 7-coster, 5-strength, Intrigue Power Lord, and is the action to kneel your faction card to choose a participating character with fewer than 2 challenge icons and remove it from the challenge. And also the reaction, after you lose a challenge, choose a character until end of phase, that character gains or loses challenge icon of your choice. So obviously, the icon manipulation is something we really want, but a 7-coster in an HRD deck with such a low curve right now that we could easily make the deck just top out at 5. Do we want to make the curve bigger to fit in someone like Doran?
Well, I know Tommy's kind of a plot guy. I'd be curious a little bit about what he thinks. You know, if we keep it topping out at 5, you know, is that an opening for something like Duel? Is that a direction we might want to push here, or stick with, you know, a little bit of beef?
I'm not sure if I would get behind a full set of them, but I might look at a singleton.
Okay, let's tentatively put it in the singleton.
I'm not a huge fan of Duel, but I do love Daharis, and, you know, either way, you're looking at managing your cost for that, and with Flea Bottom already being, you know, kind of auto-included, that's a great card to use in tandem with that plot. So, I mean, I think we throw one in and see how it shakes down. I know that I'm certainly going to want to entertain using the icon, the single icon Viper as well. So...
Okay, so here's another thought that strikes me while we're looking at 1Xs. It had me looking also at the new Obara Sand, who, you know, in many ways is a little weaker than, say, Core Arion, but definitely shares some strengths. Is it worth at least one copy of Obara? Do we maybe look at like a 2-2 split between her and Arion to kind of help us with our icon spread?
So I think one of, for sure. I think we see how many Sand Snakes we're playing.
I mean, she can always return herself, right? If nothing else. And at that point, she's like a slightly weaker Arion.
No, I agree. She definitely is at least a 1X.
Yeah.
I'd actually be in favor of the 2-2, thinking about it, because I don't think we're going to play Close Call or anything like that. So I don't like running 3 of X uniques and relying on them too much when Heads on Spikes is still a card that you can't really play around.
Especially given that these are cards that you generally aren't going to want to duplicate anyway.
Yeah, and they're not cards that stay on the board. They want to stay in your hand.
Right.
So Heads on Spikes hits them easier.
So 2-2 split then? Did we just talk ourselves into that?
Yeah, I'd be willing to give that a try.
2-2 split is more fun. Also true. Anyway, so the let's go to the other bigger curve card, and that is Dorne.
That's D-O-R-N-E, so, the location, right?
Yes, I can read that too. It's the signature for a cross location for Martell. Dorne traded. Reaction, after you lose a challenge, look at the top two cards of your deck. Add one to your hand and place the other on the bottom of your deck, plus one reserve. So in general, this is a really good card. But if we're planning on taking icons and not having the challenges happen that much, do we plan on losing that much? And also, do we, a far cost location, if we have a smaller curve, might be a big amount of money to spend.
Yeah, I can't get behind that card. I don't know what you think, Will.
Yeah, in this deck, I think that's my first thought, is the same concern that Scott brought up, that we're trying to deny our opponent the ability to participate in, you know, X number of challenges anyway, which drastically lowers the usefulness of Dorne. And then when you're already lowering its efficiency and then trying to judge that against the cost, like when we're in kind of a lower curve deck anyway, and now our characters need to kind of punch above their weight, which means that gold investment kind of needs to count for more. It just doesn't line up for me for this deck.
No, I agree. The only other big body, and it's also new, is the new Ilaria. Six costs, intrigue, power icon, five strength, bastard, and companion traded loyal. Reaction, after Lair is declared as an attacker, you may choose up to three characters controlled by the defending player. Each of those characters must be declared as a defender for this challenge if able. So if we end up going first, the people that we can't take the icons from will make... We basically kneel them out to defend for Ilaria.
I could be talked into a copy of her pretty easily. We'll need a placeholder for the deck list since she's not in Thrones DB, though.
Yeah, I would just use the other one.
Works for me. Is one a reasonable copy to you guys as a just-in-case option?
I was thinking of a 1X of her to try her out. It could be good, and since I'm almost certain we're going to run the econ location, it gives them... Damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? If they make us go first, then they have to deal with Ilaria. And if they make us go second, then they're giving us more money.
Yeah, I can get behind trying out a single copy. I also definitely want to have at least a single of the guy from our quote in Darkstar.
That's just what I was looking at.
Yes, let me find Darkstar.
Yeah.
Do you want to read Darkstar?
Sure. So he's going to be a 5-cost, 4-strength, of course non-loyal, but that doesn't matter much for this. Military and Intrigue, House Dane Knight. He's got Stealth, which I love, and then the reaction after Darkstar bypasses a character using Stealth. That character loses the challenge icon of your choice until the end of the phase. Of course, the icon removal kind of fits here with this theme, but he also pushes heavier into that more aggressive going first sort of option, that damned if you do, damned if you don't thing that Scott was talking about with Ilaria, where he helps between Stealth and his icon removal on attack. He really pushes through challenges there when you're stuck going first. I mean, granted, he can on defense as well, but he has a higher upside for the number of challenges he can deny when you're going first. So I definitely want at least one of him for those same sorts of reasons.
Yeah, I might even think about going up on him, but kind of want to see how things shake out. I also, in a deck where I'm running Martell and it's 3x Flea Bottom, I can't imagine not having at least one copy of Ariel Hota from the core, possibly more. I also can't think about the deck without having three of the Green Blood Traders.
I agree with Green Blood Trader.
You don't agree with Hota, or Scott?
I do. I don't think we want the new Hota.
No.
So I agree. Old Hota definitely is a 1X, and three Green Blood Traders.
And then also, I probably would want three Bastard Daughters.
Yes, I believe we want three bastard daughters. So other good flea bottom tech now is Planky Town. Do we want to try the Planky Town out?
Let me scroll back down here, remind myself exactly how he works.
I'll read the Planky Town Trader. So the Planky Town Trader was in the last chapter pack. It's a one cost, one strength power icon. Merchant bestow 5. And she's the interrupt. When Planky Town Trader leaves play, you may put a non-Martell character with printed cost X or lower into play from your hand. X is the number of gold on Planky Town Trader. Until end of phase, that character cannot leave play. I don't think we're going to run that many non-Martells, so we probably don't want her. But since we're talking about flea bottom tech Martell cards, that is another one that comes to mind.
Yeah, I can't imagine any non-flea bottom characters that we're going to actually run in here. And the other thing that tears me a little bit is that with a one cost, it's great for our House of the Red Door setups, but I just don't think you're getting the value, especially with having to bestow. I don't know what you think, Will.
Yeah, no, I think we're just not likely to have enough targets. If we had the targets, yeah. I think it could lead to some fun stuff, but I don't think that lines up.
One that I think I do want to try is the new Tyeen, especially with the amount of sand snakes that we've got in here. Having extra stealth is always good if we are trying to push that advantage.
I could maybe see one. How many, I mean, with the amount of sand snakes we would have in here, we'll have, let's see, 3 Nims, 2 Obaras, and 3 of the Bastard Daughters. And I think maybe Bastard Daughters is the only one I really want to kneel to put her into play, though.
I think we're going to put Obella in, even though you don't actually want a Marshall or Obella.
That's kind of where I was going, and I think that she might be a 3X.
Obella is, a broken card. She's a silly card. I think she's at least 2. Where do you stand, Will? 2 or 3 Obella?
I feel
Obella?
Like 2 Obellas. But it's worth noting, if you want to hold her in hand, you can't count her as someone that you maybe want to kneel for Tyeen. So,
well, you can or you can't. It all depends on if you're going to put him into play and then bounce him back with somebody else. So,
yeah, you could potentially put her into play, kneel her to put a Tyeen in, bounce her with Obara to put something else.
Yep, I'm thinking about chaining this
Shadow thing. City Bastard or something. It is possible.
And I think she's also, she's flea bottom bait too. So,
yeah, she is flea bottom bait. She's everything and more.
So you guys want to go 3?
I was gonna go 2.
Yeah,
but
let's
we can see how it goes. I think
because I know I always want to play a lot of events in Martell, and we're already getting up there.
I mean. 2 of her, and let's see. Oh, and I didn't even put a Tyeen in yet. If I put the Tyeen in, we're setting, if I have this right, at 29 characters. Is that what you guys have?
So I'm cool with trying this Tyeen, but I'm curious if the deck wants the other Tyeen more, because we're taking away icons and. You can make sure that none of those
instant
back.
That's
up.
True. The thing about her, though, is that you're then putting in a 6 cost. You're not getting the stealth. She doesn't work with Ariane.
I mean, this Tyeen is just a 3 strength intrigue with stealth, though, in many ways. I'm honestly kind of looking here and thinking. I mean, and especially if you use her with Ariane or Obara to just drop her into play, then, I mean, her text box literally doesn't matter except for the stealth at that
That's
point.
That's fair.
I mean, I think she's really at the low end of our kind of power level curve. And I feel like, especially with HRD, we're going to need some slots for, you know, some basic stuff like, I forget the name now, what's the name of the Martell Reducer character?
Desert scavengers. Yeah, we need to get back on our low curve. So I'd be fine with taking her out. I'm not a huge fan of her, but I'm also not against her either.
I'm gonna push for dropping Tyene. I know part of the point is to build with new stuff here, but I think she's kind of a liability the way the deck is.
All right, let's leave her on the side. Since we are talking about low cost setup things, there are a couple of things I think are interesting. What do you guys think about Patience? I know a lot of people hate it, but it might be good.
Yeah, let me get it in front of me again. Okay, so it's a one cost attachment.
So Patience is a one cost attachment skill traded for a character you control, and that character gains the challenges icon. Return attached character to its owner's hands. So this would, if you want to draw more with your green blood trader in the future, you can. If you want to Dorner Spider, move more icons in the future, you can. If you want a Southern Messenger,
sure,
more in the future, you can. It also works really well with Sweet Bottom characters. If you want to go over reserve and then discard them with Fleet Bottom so you can bring that into play again, you can do that. It allows a lot of little tricks like that. And it's one cost for our small
sure,
setup.
Sure could be pretty broken with that Tyene.
Broken?
It can be broken with that Tyene.
Oh, just because you can return her and then kneel another character?
You could bring in characters twice, potentially, right?
I suppose. I mean, she only has the one icon, though, so...
She does, but Nymeria gives her icons whenever she's
yeah,
up there at the same time as her.
That's what I was going to say, is you got to have the Nymeria play to give her the other icon.
And certainly it's not outside of the realm of possibility of playing the second intrigue challenge plot, Spider's Web.
I do, in general, like that plot.
So, I mean, we haven't discussed plots at all, so it's just something that's a possibility. I'm not sure that it's a fit here. I'm just saying there's utility with that card, potentially, in that Tyene.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on it, though. I don't think I don't think we're gonna have the room for that attachment.
I don't think so either. Let's put in the three Desert Scavenger, though.
Oh, yeah,
the only thing I would say before we completely leave Patience behind is that the going over reserve to discard and seed for Flea Bottom is the most appealing potential aspect. So I'm gonna kind of keep ruminating on that.
Well, that's what I think I like the most about this card that people don't think about, because you just want the come into play effects. And you're getting two cards of the hand then, so it's relatively easy to get over reserve.
Right.
I think there's also interesting play available with it to, you know, get through, say that you go second, right, and you get through challenges, and then you, like a great retaliation turn, where, you know, you're obviously forced to go second, you power through a bunch of claim two challenges, and then you, at the end of challenges, you return your best character to your hand and then set up an offensive valor.
No, I agree.
So, I mean, we're not playing enough heavy hitting unique characters where that's really advantageous in my opinion, but I think again, it's an application for the card. But talking about heavy hitting uniques, I don't know if you guys are going to fight me about a single copy of the Oberyn's Revenge Red Viper, but I feel like that's not something that I would skip in this deck.
We could, because we don't try it. I'm not a huge fan, but we could.
We don't have a lot of closing power.
We don't have many military icons.
And
that's really worrying me right now.
That too, and we also are going to synergize, of course, with the icon removal. So,
yeah, no, I think that's good. I was also going to suggest the Bastard of God's Grace for, not for the military icon, but since we have so much jumpiness anyway, it's a good reason.
I think a singleton of him is
okay.
Good as well.
I'm good with both of those. A touch of more speed in the down, and for me, the big selling point is getting some military icons in the deck. So
also, while we're talking about cheaper things to set up, what do you guys think of the Princess Pass?
You know, I haven't been super sold on it in the past. It just felt a little too fiddly, but I haven't had quite these tools, you know, available to really try to to push this. So let me reread the prince's pass and see how I feel in light of what we got going on right now. So it's 2 cost, Dorn, and then reaction. After you lose a challenge as the defending player, kneel the prince's pass to choose an attacking character. Until the end of the phase, that character loses a challenge icon of your choice. Then if it has no challenge icons, you may sacrifice the prince's pass to discard it from play. The timing, I think, is still what gives me so much pause on this, because, you know, you have to be letting them have that challenge to begin with. I don't know.
Yeah, I certainly think that I'd rather play 3 copies of Gas and Gray instead of a single copy of this one.
I guess we can come back to that later. I just was hoping I could find this card to be decent.
I was hoping, but, you know, for what it's worth, I know you're not a huge dupe fan, Scott. We don't necessarily have to go far down that road, but the Prince's Pass can be saved from, so it worries me a little bit to put so much effort into triggering it and then just allowing the save.
No, I agree. I think it'd only be a 1 or a 2x, and then you'd also run a 1 of a 2x casted and complement to it.
I think Scorching Deserts might even be more interesting in this deck, which I can't believe I'm saying. But
Scorching Deserts is a tempo play. It's not a removal play, which might be fine.
Right. I mean, you have removal with Gaston, and then you have tempo with Scorching Desert. And I'd like that it's a 1 cost, which helps with our terrible setups.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can keep... Let's keep it as something we think about. But let's see what other cheap things
we... We want Dornish Fiefdoms, right? I don't know if I missed that.
Yeah. We didn't get to economy yet.
I was about
yet,
to say, maybe right now would be a good time to round out some economy, because... You know, most of them are going to be on the cheap end of the spectrum anyway. So let's take a look at that. Are we going?
Three.
Sorry, was that 3 of the 5 tomes?
Yeah,
yes,
definitely.
And 3 Blood Island Grove. And I think just 3 Rose Road, very plain econ setup.
Yeah, I could probably get behind a single Gates of the Moon for this deck too.
I think this deck is trying, in a sense, starve the opponent of a resource with the icons being that resource.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give them any type of resource.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I just feel like the amount of jumping and the amount of events that we're going to want to play, we're going to want to make sure that we have gold. And the Blood Orange Grove doesn't help us very much there.
Yeah, we just don't have many options for hard gold available.
I mean, sneaking in a tourney grounds or two, I could get behind as well. It all depends on the event package that we're choosing.
If tourney grounds did more than just events, I mean, like, I don't know. For a good,
it's tough,
80,
yeah.
Well, I was going to say for like a good 80% of the game, the Water Gardens is just flat better than tourney grounds, right?
Agreed. Yep.
And we have.
So we could. I could be behind playing a 1x Water
Guard. I would be okay with that. That'd put us up to 10 income cards, which I think is probably my like bare minimum.
Yeah.
Income locations, that is. I mean, we've got the reducer characters too.
Yeah, I could do 1 or 2 Water Guard, depending.
Okay.
Let's put 1 for now.
All right. So we'll go to attachments, which I don't think we want many of. Do we want Venomous?
I would say 1 Venomous is pretty reasonable. I mean, it's reusable, so if we draw the 1, we can get multiple uses out of it. And it is a really nice target for the reduction from Water Gardens. But since we're only running the 1 Water Gardens right now, only having 1 blade potentially delays our drawing of it, you know, so that maybe we have the Water Gardens by then.
Do you guys don't want to entertain a Hota's Axe with all the jumping that we're doing?
That's a good point. We We can entertain the Hota's axe. We don't have any reserve boosts. I don't think we're going to get them, which is a little bit pausing. But three
and
strength
free.
Is a lot of strength.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is in the spirit of doing new things. So yeah. You want to do one axe, one blade?
One axe, one blade. And, you know, I keep coming back and eyeing imprisoned. You know, I really don't think we need to go hard on the icon removal attachments the way this deck is headed. But I keep looking at how low that military count is. And that's something I want to tackle partly in the plots. But I also can't help but think an imprisoned or two would be kind of a boon for us.
I can be okay with that, or I could also be okay with just putting in a nut, like three more cheap bodies on setup that will have a military icon, just like House Dane Knights or something.
Yeah, I think I'd rather go with the attachments than that.
I could be convinced either way, depending on what sort of arguments for or against you guys have.
I just don't. I'm not a big fan of those attachments because they can't be set up, and we're already having a bit of a fiddly setup, and they're easier to remove. And I like claim, like, I think it also will depend on our plot deck. If we're running a decent amount of resets, which I think there's a good chance we should be because we're bouncing so much.
Yes.
Then
we're bouncing and we're low on military. We're going to need to offset those bodies on the board via resets for sure.
Yeah. So if we want to try the icon stripping attachments, I'm fine with that. It's also more in the spirit of this deck for funds, which I'm also good with.
What do we have for options in terms of military icons outside of the House Dane Knight?
That's a worthy consideration.
Cheap things outside of the House Dane Knight. Edric Dane is kind of an everything.
I can definitely get behind a single copy of him.
I'm for a single copy of Edric.
He is gold intensive, though, and we were just kind of iffy about our...
He is,
our
but pool. I kind of see him more as a flea bottom guy anyway. And then you're paying one to bring him in, and then you're using one to get the icon, so... I'm not sure. Like, because if you pay for him outright and then you're regularly using his icons, yeah, I agree. He ends up getting expensive. But if you're just popping him off from a flea bottom for surprise stealth, it's pretty nifty.
Yeah, I like it. What do you think of the Sir Cletus Ironwood, the 3-for-3 intrigue? Mill icon that increases your initiative by one.
You know, I think 1x of him sounds very reasonable. I mean, we're going to want to control the initiative game for sure.
And that's a 3-strength military icon, which is a respectable strength military icon.
Right.
Yeah, he's definitely a decent addition.
You know, looking at him and looking for these cheap options, though, I also think, man, are we vulnerable to
first snow.
Yeah.
Well, then we Valor the next turn. That's fine. I'll Valor. Yeah.
Well, there's also the possibility of using the new plot, right, to protect from that in situations where we believe that they're going to first snow us. We run the new plot and then switch into Forgotten Plans.
Oh, Adorn's
Mask. You want to play Forgotten Plans, too, is the thing.
That's just a question.
I do think you want to play the new plot, because the new plot's awesome.
Agreed.
Unfortunately, we're not taking advantage of how many plots are in our use pile at all.
Right.
No, I agree, but still being able...
It's really good, still, yeah.
Yeah, it's still really good.
I like the idea of doing that with double riddles.
Oh, yeah, that could be cool.
Two riddles is cool. I mean, we're definitely going to want sacrifice and discard text. So do we want, we're going to need marched and fallen or marched or fallen or some type of combination.
I think one of each.
That's what I tend to like too.
What do you think, Will?
Marched and fallen. I can be good with that. So fallen from favor and marched to the wall. So we've got three plots picked out. Just to make sure I'm still on the right page with you guys, we kind of tabled the final decision on attachments versus military icon characters and such, right? So do you guys also have 34 characters, 2 attachments, 14 locations at the moment?
I have 32 characters, but everything else is right.
I wonder what got missed on that.
I have 35 characters.
Uh-oh. Okay. Tell you what, let's go ahead and get on the same page real quick before we go too far. Yeah, so I'll roll call what I've got on mine. 1, Ario Hota. 2, Ariane Martel. 3, Bastard Daughter. 1, Dark Star. 3, Desert Scavenger. 1, Doran Martel. 3, Dornish Spy. 1, Ilaria Sand. 3, Green Blood Traitor. 3, Nymeria Sand. 2, Obara Sand. 2, Obella Sand. 1, Sir Cletus Ironwood. 3, Shadow City Bastard. 3, Southron Messenger. 1, Bastard of God's Grace. 1, Red Viper.
I was missing the Southron Messengers, and I also have an Edric Dane in there that you don't have.
Yeah, you guys were both good with Edric. I missed getting him added. Let me hop over here and add Edric. There we go.
So I have 35 now as well.
Okay, so now we're on the same page to keep kind of figuring out our plan. You guys want to keep rolling ahead with plots?
Let's do
where
that
we were,
figure out where we are from an economy perspective before we make any decisions on the rest of the cards.
On those final nine or ten cards. I would push as well where we are right now for, you know, some kind of real resets, so to speak, like harder resets.
I want Margulis.
Yeah, I actually would lean toward two resets.
I could be on board with both Valors.
Both Valors? Okay. I wasn't going to be super duper picky on which one, though I think I've mentioned before, I've been a lot higher on Wildfire again lately, but in this deck, with our characters being kind of smaller pound for pound, I don't think we come out better in that Wildfire assault.
Martell doesn't want to run Wildfire. Bauer, there's factions that do, but not Martell.
Yeah, Doharis, I think, fits
our into a Prince Norn's behest, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
We just want to throw counting in. So, one counting, because it's counting.
So, yeah, I feel like it's important that we have that, and that's why I like also filling the other slot with a riddle, depending on if we want to try and replicate that or do something else. But I also feel like we need to have one heavy gold plot.
That's what I was looking at. I mean, we've got Fallen from Favor, but that's probably a turn 2 or 3 income plot once we've landed something.
I look at that as a first plot.
Fallen?
Yeah. I often play Fallen on turn 1.
Get something in there for...
But I also often play Riddle on turn 1.
Get that in there to have... Yeah, exactly, for the Riddle, and then also to get something in there for Fleabottom.
Well, right, but I'm just saying, like, you can't always guarantee you've got something good for Fleabottom on setup, so...
You also have to make sure you have Fleabottom on setup. It's the other problem.
It's not a bottom target, right?
No, I agree.
Is it worth 2 Fallen, then? If we really want to push...
Between that and not having Fleabottom. A lot of military protection, though, I think we could be thinning our board to the point where we don't have a sustainable presence.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
No, I agree. I think
this might be a late summer feast deck.
I want the Riddle, but...
Me too. I could go with taking out a Marched and putting in a Riddle as well.
This deck might not want March that much. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through plot choices now.
It also is hard not to play a long plan.
I don't think this deck wants long plan because it doesn't plan on... The game plan of this deck is not to lose a lot of challenges. It's to not have a lot of challenges matter for the opponent.
True, but it's so good to set up one of your multiple reset plots.
No, I agree. I love using it to set up Counting or Morghulis, but I don't think we could fit it in this plot deck.
Yeah, it's definitely too tight, I agree. But I don't know. What do you think about cutting the March for the Riddle, Will?
I mean, I think that's probably the one I look at.
That four reserve is going to hurt us.
On
Marched.
Isn't Marched five?
Is it?
Let me it's five. Wheel back it's over. Five. Yeah. So, I mean, five is kind of my mentally my default in the game right now. It's very acceptable. Yeah. And in this deck, you know, a low reserve doesn't really hurt us all that much. We toss, you know, two flea bottom targets into the bin, and we're happy about it.
That's true.
Yeah, so if we want to cut the... If you want to cut the March for a Riddle, I think that's okay. Dorne's
Behest, Counting Coppers, Fallen from Favor, Late Summer Feast, Daharis, Morghulis, and Riddle. That's
seven. Yeah, and we have one spot left.
We did settle on
Late Summer. I mean, I don't know a better economy plot for this. We don't want to be giving three gold away to our opponent, so I rule out trading. And, I mean, the other options are risky. I mean...
Time of Plenty is probably the closest one that I could think of.
But is that really big enough gold for us, you know?
Yeah, or...
with it being our only one?
Well, not our only. I would definitely say that Fallen from Favor.
Yeah, if you're counting Fallen as one.
I mean...
But you're losing, cost. Presumably, two costs. So, you know, the tempo swing of that is...
Right. Well, another thought, similarly here, is potentially calling the banners. If we're just kind of gumming up the board early till we land whatever reset we want, then I think we can get a reasonable amount out of calling the banners, at least enough to make it kind of similar parity to something like the Fallen from Favor. And it has high initiative. Because I'm looking, that's one of the things that keeps sending me back to thinking about another Fallen from Favor. Like, we do want to make sure we're going second here.
There is also Summer Harvest.
So there's...
It's four and eight.
With Summer Harvest and Prince Dorne's Behest, you could really maximize that as well.
That was my thought exactly. Like, we can make sure Summer Harvest isn't...
The problem is that you have to be doing it, like, you have to make sure that you're matching up the time that you want it with the time that your opponent's going to play it, right?
Right. A lot of times that big push is on opposite turns as the two of you alternate between some big...
I think I would rather stick with the reliability of the feast, but I could be talked out of it. I like being able to just sit on that one and say, okay, if the game state devolves and I need to just shit out a bunch of stuff, I've got a 9 sitting there.
That's fine. I mean, we could do it. We could also take a turn with this deck where we don't really challenge. So if we really don't want to give them cards if their hand's empty, this deck is fine doing that, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So we're relatively decided then on those seven, at Prince Dorne's Behest, Counting, Fallen, Late Summer Feast, Valor D, Valor M, and
Yeah, I Riddle. Like that. I think that's a fun plot deck.
Yeah. We have 9 spots for events.
Well, let's go take a look and see what we might want over there.
Do we want Someone Always Tells? Can we afford Someone Always Tells?
Oh... wait a minute. Is that on Throne CB?
I believe it is. Do you want me to read it if it isn't? But I believe it is.
I'm not seeing it here in the S's.
It's in there.
It is. So someone always tells.
Why is it not?
Is a 2-cost.
Keep going.
2-cost loyal event interrupts when the effects of an opponent's event or trigger plot ability would initiate cancel those effects.
We'll never be able to afford to trigger it on a plot because we're not playing long plan.
No, it's more hand judgment, basically.
Right, so why wouldn't you just play hand judgment?
Yeah, you're probably right.
In this
instance. I'm trying to use
this stuff. Well,
yeah, I agree. I mean, the card's interesting.
The reason you play it over hand's judgment is the fixed cost. Like, you can always plan and predict to keep 2 gold to cancel. You don't want to be in a spot where you kept 1 gold to, I don't know, cancel a tiers and they hit you with
for sure.
Put to the sword for 2, just for a quick example. Like, you're always guessing the amount you need to keep there, which kind of shifts a little bit of that bonus to your opponent, where if you've hedged your bets on a cancel at, say, 3 gold and they play, you know, nothing, then you've wasted that. And it's easy to go the other direction and keep too little. I love that I can predict. I always know how much I keep.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a benefit of it. I still don't think that we can afford it. And I also don't think that we're necessarily playing judgment in this deck. We just don't have enough heavy hitting events that really bone us that we're that scared of. And our draw sucks.
Do we just
so I feel like, especially with having chosen to play the at Prince Doran's behest, we probably should throw in at least 2 copies of Secret Schemes, no?
No, yeah, we definitely should put in at least 2.
All right.
Yeah.
I like 2 better than 3.
Yeah, because you don't want to see it too early.
It depends.
Are we
going
to
run Iron Bank will have its due with all the jumping?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think 2 and 2.
I also want probably 2 nightmares, right?
Never leave home without it.
And tears.
Yeah, I mean,
we're taking icons, so I think we want tears.
Instant into some removal. It's just a matter of how many we want.
I think we want 2 tears.
Yep.
Puts us at 59 so cards right now.
I always
now,
hate guys. Not playing right. Viper Eyes. It's just such good value. And I also hate not playing Vengeance.
And
I'm still hung up on us not having any Gastons in here.
Yeah.
I have a lot of trouble fitting Gastons into Martell decks now. But I can be convinced to run 1 or 2 Gastons, maybe. But then we have to figure out what
I do play. Like that they help us on those setups as opposed to dropping in more events when we already have kind of awkward setups.
Okay, so what we got?
I actually might want to drop the blade and play 2 Gastons.
Wait a minute. Why are we dropping? Are you guys at 59 cards right now, or did I miss something?
I'm at 59. Okay. I'm at 59, but if we want to put in 2.
We can go to 61.
Sure.
Uh-oh. We have.
I mean, Aaron would be.
Yeah, he definitely would. I could be talked into potentially dropping the blade. I don't know. That also sends me back to looking at the water gardens and thinking, well, geez. How many targets do we actually, like, realistically have?
Yeah, now? I was going to bring that up. I don't think we want this water guard.
Especially since we're not playing Vengeance.
Yeah.
I'm taking out the water gardens.
Do we go ahead and drop the blade then if we're dropping the water gardens?
Yes, then we can drop the blade.
Down to 57.
So So do we want to play another econ, which I don't even know what we put there? I don't want the gates.
I don't think there's really an option that we can pick.
There's not a great one. We've got so many jumpers and things that even like
pop up to a third Iron Bank.
King's Roads doesn't.
So that'd be five cards in our deck that faction card, Neil.
Yeah, that it starts really
yeah.
kind of pushing that edge. I think four is where I'm happy with those. I could be convinced for five, but I don't necessarily know that we need to push it for Iron Bank.
So in my Martell Wolf, I do play five. I play three Iron Bank and two Secret Schemes, and it's most of the time five fine. But there are occasions where you're like, oh. So I think let's put in the two Gigagast in because that's what you want, and then that'll leave us one slot.
All important slot.
I could also just be fine with like a bone.
Yeah, I was actually just kind of looking at, you know, like the Bone Way or Hellhold. I think Bone Way is probably an easier trigger for us because we're probably taking icons from the big stuff. But
no Shandy Stone.
I was looking at that too. I do love that stand.
We also got pulled away from the Scorching Desert or whatever.
Right.
Which, I mean, talk about helping our setup.
I mean, that would help our setup.
One cheeky so, Scorching Deserts.
Yeah, I don't think we need it either,
but I've heard worse ideas. I could frankly put in a singleton of the House Dane Knight just to add another military icon. I could go up to a third Obella.
I could also
I would put be in down like with one another Viper Hota.
Eye. I'm almost feeling another Hota. He plays well with something like Flea Bottom. We obviously have multiple ways to bounce and return and reuse him. You know, Iron Bank or whatever.
He's fine for setup, and if we have to pitch him for Fallen from Favor, we're happy to do that.
And he just gives us the most like pound for pound like strength to gold cost military that we're gonna find.
Oh, for sure. I think I'm good with that, Will.
Sure, we can do it.
He's more of an event that you can set up.
He is.
Yeah, this is interesting.
It definitely is.
I feel like something really really military heavy is going to push the bounds of how many icons you can remove, I think.
Yeah. Man, is it good? That is really the question, isn't it? it's interesting. Maybe I could proxy some of these cards up and actually give this some real games.
You can play it on Iron Throne.
I never really get on Iron Throne, and I prefer real cards, so to speak. Are these cards from Sands of Dorne available on there?
Yep. Okay. They should be.
Well, I have been saying I need to start trying to play some games on there over my lunch break or something. Maybe I can give it a shot. Or you guys could throw in some games, see how it goes.
Yeah, I certainly have no problem giving it a go.
I will try it.
It's got a lot of moving pieces that I like.
And you could try it. Listen.
What was that, Scott?
I was telling the listeners they should try it too.
Definitely. Tell
us how horrible it is and what stupid choices we made.
Yeah. Let us know how we desperately needed that one his Viper Eyes.
Yeah, right. or that shaking, scorching desert.
I'm also upset we didn't fit any Orphan of the Green Blood so that's more things.
We should have thought of that.
It's also, I don't know if we can afford the bestow.
We just use up slots so fast.
God, Mortello's so good.
Yeah, and they're only going to get better.
Yeah.
I mean, in the foreseeable future, anyway.
But new Danny will come out and make us all cry.
Yeah. What is she, next pack? Pack after that?
You can burn anything with my hat.
So soon. Seems like cards are just turning up left and right these days.
Well, she's only French for now, so it's okay.
Whew, thank goodness.
So props?
Yeah, props and slops.
I will slop that Danny.
That's the real reason Scott wanted to go to props and slops. He had one.
Sony needs to fill me in. I have no idea what the heck you guys are even talking about.
So there were a bunch of French spoilers that got leaked of, I don't know where the guy got the French cards. But there's a new Daenerys Targaryen coming out in the next chapter pack or two. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so it might be a little bit wrong, but it's a 5-for-3. I'm pretty sure she's a lady. She is not Stormborn, though.
I don't remember.
Is she a queen? I think she's a queen. Anyway, she cannot be burned. Her strength cannot be changed by effects like burn. And whenever you play a target event, you can give a character -1 strength terminal.
Round.
Up to 3 times a round or
up
3 times
to
a
three
round.
Round.
So,
Jesus.
So terminal burn, so that is that recycling Dragon is No Slave. That's a -3 terminal event now.
So, and her strength is not modifiable? Or she just can't,
be reduced. She can't be burnt. Get it?
Oh, yeah. No, I get it.
She's the
I just want to make sure that the...
Very funny. How's that working out for you?
The text is correct. Yeah, so Nightmares, Crown of Gold, have a nice day.
I mean, it makes me think I'm going to play 3x milk in every deck from now on.
Which is
retarded. Again.
As if it ever left.
Yeah, boo.
So yeah, I mean, also when you think about it, cards like that we thought were bad, like Dragon Sight, that is just every participating character of your opponents, I think, gets -1 or something like that. Now it becomes -2 terminal.
Well, not across the board, but one character will get a -2 terminal.
So,
that's still
any
ridiculous.
Other really super ridiculous cards included in this to slot?
I mean,
yeah,
if you want to look at all the French spoilers, that's another podcast, I think.
Yeah.
But
You can scroll through the Instagram spoiler account that we linked in the Zencaster chat. It'll give you all the good deets and the bad ones.
I mean, I think she's the most ridiculous. It's hard to be more ridiculous than she is.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
but there's a lot of good stuff coming up. Indeed. let's see, what else? I'm going to throw out some props. I've been pushing hard on some comic books again, so I somewhat recently used my Comixology Unlimited account to read all the way through, I don't know, the first 7 trades, I think it is, of a horror comic called Rachel Rising that was really enjoyable. I mean, it's not like hard horror and gore, but it was good. Dug it. Terry Moore, the writer of Strangers in Paradise, if anybody remembers that one. So I could dig it. Also read the first trade of Black Hammer, and I'm currently working on Umbrella Academy. So trying to hit some interesting stuff from recent years that is kind of outside my usual scope, and I've been enjoying it.
Cool. Trying to think. I guess I found out that I had mentioned that I've got a lot of travel coming, and I found out how much more I've got. So I'm going to preemptively slop flights to Asia because that's going to suck again. So,
oof. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a long trip.
That is a very long trip.
At least it's not into the proverbial danger zone.